called the Black Water. And over the years, during heavy rain events, it overflows onto our beaches in the winter mostly. And the province has told us, and the other communities that have similar situations, that we have to separate. We have to have one pipe for rainwater, stormwater, and another pipe for sanitary sewage or black water. So that's what we started embarking on. And as you know, we've been at this for quite some time. About 6 years ago or so, after a number of years of planning, we had a proposal that was rejected by council. Then we went back to the drawing board. And I know about over three years ago, during the time we had an interim chief administrative officer, we started the planning process, which essentially had brought us here. We started in earnest in May of last year, with the first step being the engagement of, engineering. We did quite a bit of work there. They were retained as a consulting service for a pre-design study. So that really was the outset of this process. We've had open houses, a number of open houses. We've had website information. We've had an on-site survey. And we had a lot of responses during the open houses and on the survey, and some issues raised, which we then followed up on. You may recall, for instance, we had a very specific meeting about directional drilling, and we had an expert on trenchless technologies come in and speak with us in a public forum. We looked at the rocks underneath some of the areas where we need to lay the pipes. We got that report recently. We'll talk about that tonight. And looked at a number of other issues, including using the existing right-of-ways and pipes, so to ensure that as much gravity as possible is utilized. And there's been some resolutions already in June of this year that kind of brought us here. And here is really not the end of the process, but it's not the beginning of the process. This is the beginning of the end of the process, to borrow from Churchill. Tonight's purpose is to review all of those, all that information that we've been gathering over the last year and a half, and looking at a recommendation based on all that gathered information, and we'll look at that tonight, and we'll hear from the public. So that's kind of my very kind of high level introduction. I wanted, before I start, just mention that we do have Councillor Croft. He's away in Eastern Canada, and so he won't be joining us tonight. We have a number of staff here that I should introduce, I'll start by introducing Jack Paul, who's our project manager, seated at the front. He will be providing a PowerPoint presentation, which will kind of review the issues and where are we now, and review the recommendation. We have our project communication person here, Kathy Springer, who's here. Ian Whitehead from McElhaney Consulting is also here. Welcome, Ian. Our relatively new Director of Engineering, Dan Warren, in front. And David Brozak, who's our Superintendent of Public Works, is in the audience. And then we have Grace Esposito, who's our Engineering Assistant, who's also there. Welcome, Grace. And last but certainly not least, we have our Archivist, who will be the meeting recorder, and Carolyn Duncan. And thank you very much for assisting us here tonight. The order of business will be is that we will hear from Jack Hull. He has a presentation which you will see behind us. We won't be cranking our necks, but that doesn't mean we're not interested. We have a very large screen presenter here, so we'll be able to see everything that you can see. Following that, I will ask council if there's any questions. And then after that, I will open the floor to anyone who wishes to speak to us. There may be questions of Jack or our staff in terms of the project and the recommendations. And we can hear comments as well as questions from the public. Following at the end of that, if there is anything that Jack hasn't answered or any wrap-up comments, I will ask him to address us as a kind of wrap-up. And then we will close off, if you like, if I can call it that public aspect of the meeting, and then we will have a discussion up here. This is a committee of the whole, so we will not be passing any final resolutions tonight. Committee of the whole are generally casual. You notice I'm not wearing a tie tonight. I might even take off my jacket. The idea is to interact with our neighbors and our community. Typically, we sit in a square. Everyone sits with us at the table, but given the forum here, we'll be asking anyone who wants to come forward and address us to come up to the microphone. We do have, I think, two signups for anyone who wishes to address us, so we can track and get the right spelling of their names for the minutes, as well as the community that you're from. You don't have to give an address. I think it's just your name and your home community. What we do, though, expect tonight is council. After all of that has taken place, we will review the recommendation. And there is a recommended motion that we leave you on the table. And if it is, essentially is recommending to ourselves as a legislative body, not a legislative tonight, we're an exploratory body, if you will. And the committee will recommend to council the direction that this project will take. That we anticipate, subject to anything else happening tonight, to come back to council and sitting as a legislative body on it'll come back to the 11th, the day after Thanksgiving. So that's where we are. We have a number of documents before us that are set out in the agenda that council has reviewed. There's a recent letter that we received, and those are also on the agenda for our consideration. So, without further ado, again, welcome everyone. Thanks for coming. I'm going to turn the microphone over to Jack, who's going to take us through the pre-design report. Jack?
Thank you, Chair. So, basically what we have tonight is the culmination of 18 months' work, and all the names of the staff that you mentioned are all part of the team that have worked on this project. It has been a team approach, and which helps bring diverse opinions and ideas, and hopefully we end up with a better product at the end of the day. So, I'll go through.
There we go.
Obviously. There we go.
Okay.
So, obviously the first question is, why are we doing this? And what OPEI is doing is seeking to comply with the Municipal Wastewater Regulation Section 42, that basically is saying no combined sewer overflows unless measures to eliminate overflow are developed as part of a liquid waste management plan. And in this region, the CRD is responsible for the liquid waste management plan. And based on previous correspondence and more recent meeting with the Ministry of Environment, the only plan acceptable to the ministry is the separation of the combined sewers and uplands. There are a number of challenges with the uplands area. Unlike other parts of Hope Bay, where typically the roads run perpendicular to contours, and the uplands area they tend to run parallel. As a result of that, they had to use easements to get from one road down to the next, easements between private property. And those easements are along the side, along the rear, and in some cases across lots, to provide the gravity service that that is currently exists in the uplands. And another challenge up there is an area where there is significant First Nations history and significant risk of coming across archaeological finds within that area. So when we started out this project, we had a number of assumptions that we made. And as the project has progressed, as a result of feedback from council, as a result of feedback from the public process, a number of those assumptions have been challenged, and I've highlighted the ones that have been challenged, and we've provided, obtained more information. So obviously the first assumption is that the district would comply with the Ministry of Environment requirement. We assumed that a second pipe would not be installed in the existing easements because of the fact that there are hedges, there are stone walls, there are buildings in some cases, driveways, significant investment in vegetation, that to try and install a second pipe in the easement would cause considerable environmental damage. We assume that the lining of the existing pipe was not part of this project, and we'll comment on that later. We assumed that the existing pipe would be used either for stormwater conveyance or sanitary sewer. We assumed that the maximum practical trench depth would be about 5 meters. We assumed that trenches technology, specifically directional drilling or horizontal directional drilling, is not viable for installation of the new pipe in the uplands area. We assume that the district would be responsible for compliance with the Heritage Conservation Pact on district property, and likewise, owners would be responsible. So homeowners would be responsible for complying with our Heritage Conservation Act on their own property. And given the limitation on the trench depth, that sanitary or stormwater pumps would be required to a lesser or greater extent in all of the options. We assumed that stormwater would not be treated, decontaminated prior to discharge to the sea. And based on the statistics that we have from BC Hydro, that we assumed that the duration of power outages was not detrimental to the use of private pumps, pumps on private property. We assumed that on-site stormwater management would not be an alternative to a storm sewer connection. Again, we looked at that. In the absence of geotechnical information, assumptions would be made on the occurrence of rock generating cost estimates. And as you know, we did a detailed study on to get better information on that. The cost estimates that were developed were basically as an average cost to homeowners. We did not look at specific properties and come up with estimates for specific properties. That would happen as you get into more detailed design. And at the pre-design stage, operation and maintenance costs are estimates based on a percentage of the capital costs. Pretty standard approach. So there were six options developed. I'll just go through them quickly. The first option was a new deep gravity sanitary sewer with private sanitary sewage pumps with the existing pipe for stormwater. Second option was a new deep gravity stormwater sewer with private stormwater pumps and existing pipe for sanitary sewage. The third option was a low pressure sanitary sewer with private sanitary sewage pumps and the existing pipe for stormwater. Or option four was a shallow gravity stormwater pipe with private stormwater pumps and new municipal stormwater pump stations with the existing pipe for sanitary sewage. Option five was a shallow gravity sanitary sewer with private sanitary sewage pumps and with the existing pipe for stormwater. And six was a gravity sanitary sewer with private sanitary sewage pumps and new municipal sanitary sewage pump stations with the existing pipe for stormwater. All of the options were considered to be technically feasible, and all of the options would eventually result in compliance with the municipal wastewater regulation. Currently, within Oak Bay, last October, council made a direction that, in terms of whether there would be mandatory hookup once this project proceeds, and under what condition homeowners would be required to hook up. So, if there's a new home being built, mandatory separation would be required. That's currently happening in the Uplands area. Homeowners would be mandatory for homeowners to separate the sewers if they're undergoing major renovations, bound with 100,000 or greater. And as an incentive to encourage homeowners to separate their sewers, if the sewers are separated on the private property prior to construction, then they would be provided with a hookup on the municipal property at no cost. Currently, Oak Bay does require separation of their sewers when perimeter drains are being replaced. So the use of the existing pipe there, as the chair mentioned, the pipe was constructed in the early 1900s. It's a clay pipe. Generally structurally sound. It's a leaky pipe, get a lot of inflow and infiltration into the pipe through the joints. In certain locations, roots are intruding at the joints into the pipe, and more recent information indicates that's a particular problem on the easements. And it has become clear that regardless of the future use of that pipe, it is going to need to be rehabilitated. Work needs to be done to bring it up to a current standard. Early on, about a year ago, an archaeological overview assessment was undertaken to identify areas of importance to First Nations. And it was decided that Oak Bay would obtain the blanket heritage inspection permits covering the municipal rights-of-way and adjacent property owners as the work proceeds to construction, but that the district and the homeowners would be responsible for compliance with the Conservation Act on their respective properties. As has been mentioned, there was an extensive public engagement and public outreach program conducted last October through to December. A number of open houses were held, public opinion survey, and all the presentation materials were available. the municipal hall. And the open houses, there were 240 people registered, 75% of the registrants were from the Uplands area. And an additional meeting was held on November 30th. As a result of the feedback from the public, we understood the ranking by the public. Uplands homeowners ranked options 1 and 2, which is the deep gravity system, as their most preferred options. And understandably, given that part of the feedback we got was that there was a dislike for pumps having to be installed on private property, and options 1 and 2 had the least number of pumps on private property. Homeowners living outside the project area ranked option 3, which was 100% pumps, as their most preferred option, and that being because it was the least cost option to the district. So some of the key themes that we heard from the public: the affordability, I mentioned about pumps being unpopular. Stormwater management, comments about managing stormwater on private property and making better use of the roadways to manage stormwater. Comments about making the easements as part of the ultimate solution. What is the most appropriate use of the existing pipe? Options in relation to the time environmental impact. So what option will reduce environmental impact soonest? And there was feedback that some of the cost estimates were unrealistic for some property owners. And as I mentioned earlier, we did not attempt to look at specific properties. It was an average number, and again, I'll mention a bit more about that later. So looking at the options for the existing pipe, first of all, we can use it as a sanitary sewer, which is options 2 and 4. I mentioned the leaky joints. The existing pipe would be oversized and as you get down towards the outfalls for use as a sanitary sewer. It was designed as a combined sewer and would be oversized. There's potential for additional maintenance during periods of low flow. There may be accumulations within the larger sections of pipe that would require some flushing. I've mentioned the rehabilitation. And if we use the existing pipe as a sanitary sewer and put in a new storm sewer, then you get a progressive reduction in combined sewer overflows. Fortunately, this particular slide doesn't show up that well, but essentially we've got a new storm drain. And with the storm drain, as you progressively move up from the outfall, you're disconnecting more and more properties and road drains from the old pipe. And that new pipe can be directed directly into the ocean. So you're reducing the amount of water that's going to the existing pump stations by installing a new storm drain. The other option for the existing pipe is to use it as a storm drain. And that's options 1, 3, 5, and 6. It was designed to different standards back in the early 1900s than are required today. So in some places it is undersized, and would probably those sections would need to be upgraded to a larger size pipe to prevent surcharging. I've mentioned it needs rehabilitation, and using the existing pipe as a storm drain, it would defer elimination of the combined sewer overflows until all the homes were connected up. Because if you use it as an existing storm drain, you almost have some homes connected to that pipe but discharging sanitary sewage. So you could not direct any water other than to the pump stations as a result. And until the last house is separate, you've always got sanitary sewage in that pipe. So that's, as I say, defers elimination, defers compliance with the ministry requirements. So there are a number of additional studies that I mentioned earlier that we did look at and directed by council to look at. This option shows the typical construction of a trench that would be up to 5 meters deep using trench cages. The excavator has no difficulty reaching the bottom of the trench. The trench cage is there for the safety of the workers. You have minimal disruption to the paving, the road paving. When you go to the deeper option, and that can be 8 meters or more, then you're beyond the typical reach of an excavator, so you basically have to bench to get the excavator that it can get down to the bottom of that trench. That would take up basically the whole road itself, plus probably some more, because you still have to have access for trucks to bring in material or remove material. So it would be extremely disruptive to go to a very deep trench approach to eliminate private pumps. We looked at the issues on site stormwater management that have been brought up to the public in the uplands, that lot sizes are larger, but it very much depends on the geotechnical conditions. We need permeable soil, sands and gravels to allow that to happen. There's a lot of rock, there's a lot of clay in uplands, which would not absorb very much of the rainfall. With climate change, we're looking at more intense rainstorms, so we're getting more rain in shorter periods of time, which will challenge any system in terms of its ability to absorb the rainfall. There's the potential for runoff from one neighbor's property onto another. There's the potential for on-site storage. That usually is very disruptive within a property. And of course, the more excavation you do within a property, the more likely you are to run into archaeological issues. Under the current bylaw, and in fact, most municipalities have such a bylaw, hookup to a sewer is mandatory. So it was not considered that on-site management was an alternative to a storm sewer connection. There were concerns about the impact on the trees in uplands as a result of the construction. And there was a staff report in May of this year where they looked at the 91 homes that have already separated their sewers to ascertain was there stress or damage to trees. And it was determined that there was evidence in only two properties that there was some tree stress or damage. And again, we would, during the design stage, you would look at the location of the connection to the new sewer pipe and how to minimize the disruption within private property that trees could be avoided and minimize the damage to trees.